Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We're up to the very last chapter in the book before we get to the epilogue. That's kind of exciting, and it's a pretty short chapter too, so we are minutes away from finishing. This is book 15, chapter 20. After Pierre's departure that first evening, when Natasha had said to Princess Mary with a gaily mocking smile, He looks just as if he had come out of a Russian bath in a short coat and with his hair cropped. Something hidden and unknown to herself but irrepressible awoke in Natasha's soul. Everything, her face, walk, look, and voice was suddenly altered. To her own surprise, a power of life and hope of happiness rose to the surface and demanded satisfaction. From that evening, she seemed to have forgotten all that had happened to her. She no longer complained of her position, did not say a word about the past, and no longer feared to make happy plans for the future. She spoke little of Pierre, but when Princess Mary mentioned him, a long-extinguished light once more kindled in her eyes and her lips curved with a strange smile. The change that took place in Natasha at first surprised Princess Mary, but when she understood its meaning it grieved her. Can she have loved my brother so little as to be able to forget him so soon? She thought, when she reflected on the change. But when she was with Natasha she was not vexed with her and did not reproach her. The reawakened power of life that had seized Natasha was so evidently irrepressible and unexpected by her that in her presence Princess Mary felt that she had no right to reproach her even in her heart. Natasha gave herself up so fully and frankly to this new feeling that she did not try to hide the fact that she was no longer sad but bright and cheerful. When Princess Mary returned to her room after her nocturnal talk with Pierre, Natasha met her on the threshold. "He has spoken, yes, he has spoken," she repeated, and a joyful yet pathetic expression, which seemed to beg forgiveness for her joy, settled on Natasha's face. "I wanted to listen to the door, but I knew you would tell me." Understandable and touching as the look with which Natasha gazed at her seemed to Princess Mary, and sorry as she was to see her agitation, these words pained her for a moment. She remembered her brother and his love. "But what's to be done? She can't help it," thought the princess. And with a sad and rather stern look, she told Natasha all that Pierre had said. On hearing that he was going to Petersburg, Natasha was astounded. "To Petersburg?" she repeated, as if unable to understand. But noticing the grieved expression on Princess Mary's face, she guessed the reason of that sadness and suddenly began to cry. "Mary," said she, "tell me what I should do. I am afraid of being bad. Whatever you tell me, I will do. Tell me."
"You love him?"
"Yes," whispered Natasha.
"Then why are you crying? I am happy for your sake," said Princess Mary, who because of those tears quite forgave Natasha's joy.
"It won't be just yet, some day. Think what fun it will be when I am his wife and you marry Nicholas."
"Natasha, I have asked you not to speak of that. Let us talk about you."
They were silent a while.
"But why go to Petersburg?"
Natasha suddenly asked, and hastily replied to her own question.
"But no, he must..."
"Yes, Mary, he must."
End of book 15.
All right, there we go, another chapter down, and we'll just quickly take a break to do a little bit of advertising. This podcast is brought to you by Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/ander, you can get a free 1 month trial subscription with a free audiobook of your choosing. You can choose any book from their unmatched selection of audio programs and download the title for free and start listening. audibletrial.com/ander to get started today.
My recommendation, another Tolstoy book, maybe. You could do Anna Karenina, or something a bit different, Stephen King's It is a really cool horror epic. Get yourself a free audiobook and a free 1 month Audible subscription at audibletrial.com/ander. Thank you very much for your patience. Now, being the last chapter in a book, we're going to do our recap of the book we've just read. Quite a short recap. Where is it here? It's only going to take a minute or so, but this is what we've just read. What is it? Book 15. First, we had the Rostovs, Natasha's grief, the news of Petya's death. Natasha leaves with Princess Mary for Moscow. We had an analysis of Kutuzov's movements. Kutuzov at Krasnoye, his speech to the army. Encampment for the night and the soldier scenes. Rambali's appearance with his orderly. The song of Henry Quatre. We had the crossing of the Barazina, Vilna, the Emperor Alexander. Kutuzov and his failing health. Then we had Pierre, his illness and recovery at Orel, his new attitude to life and his fellow men, his affairs. He goes to Moscow, the town's animation and rapid recovery. He meets Natasha and Princess Mary. And finally, it just says the word love. Love. Cool. Not a whole lot to it, really, considering that's the end of the book. I think the epilogue covers more character stuff. I hope it does. If we've got, you know, the better part of a month of an epilogue, I hope it's not all just talking about war maneuvers and historical stuff and how wrong the historians are and how bad Napoleon is and all the rest. But that remains to be seen. Original CJ5 said, I was shocked when I saw the word epilogue. I guess I was expecting more, maybe a proper ending. But even more than that, I was shocked to see that even the epilogue in this epic is going to be 1 month long. De Fleury said, worst ending ever. Why end now? Nothing is settled. 5 minutes ago, everyone was in as much muddle as they were back in June. I have no idea why Pierre has to go away instead of telling Natasha again that he loves her. I guess Princess Mary is smarter than me because she seems certain that it's important, but what? The girls talk about what fun it'll be when they marry, but the guys don't seem to have set a date. Effectively, the girls have married each other at this point. All they've been through. Hooray for downtrodden little Mary, finally making a friend, at least. I didn't see that coming. Yeah, it was funny that Mary insists Pierre needs to go back to Petersburg. And I was like, what? Why? And Natasha, it ends the chapter with Natasha asking why. Oh, I suppose he must. Yes, he must. But why? Oh, he must. That sort of thing. And I was sort of with Natasha like, yeah, why does he have to go there? So I was flicking back through the chapter, trying to find, I had a good like 10-minute flick through the last few chapters trying to figure out why, which I've obviously edited out. But I flicked back and I was just looking for the word Petersburg and, Mary says he must go. It doesn't say why, but he agrees. A few pages before that, he's talking to someone else who asks him why he's going to Petersburg or when he's going to Petersburg or something like that. And Pierre has this response of like, Petersburg? What? Why? Oh, yeah, I seem to remember something about needing to go there, but why would I want to go there? So his response is much the same as mine is now. He's kind of baffled as to like, why do I need to go there again? And then a few pages before that again, it mentions that he was on his way there and that people were giving him little commissions. Could you take this parcel for me when you go? And that sort of thing. But I still couldn't find out why he was going. I think he just was going because he has business there, he has property there. So it just seemed like what he should do, I suppose. But the only real reasons why he needed to go were that people had given him parcels to take because he was going. Other than that, I've got no idea. If I've missed something and anyone knows exactly why he was going there, please do leave a comment. And that's where the book ends, right? Just on that kind of confusing thing. The only thing I can think, and I mean, if this is intentional, then it is quite genius, is that Tolstoy just wanted to end the book with just the minutiae, the rigmarole of day-to-day life. You know, it's not just this happy ending, everyone's married now, which is what Natasha wants to happen, this idealistic, naive Natasha, who I think I was looking through her eyes as well, because I'm looking for the fairy tale ending of the book. I just want everyone to get married, her and Pierre, Nicholas and Mary, and they can all just be friends and have an awesome life. And Natasha really wants that to happen. Mary is the voice of reason who says something like, don't speak about that now. She's being realistic. She surely does want it to happen too, but she's aware that there's things that need to be done and life must go on and people need to be in different places and things have to happen. So she reminds Pierre, go and do that thing you needed to do in Petersburg. And Pierre agrees, yeah, I suppose that's what I was doing. I'll go and do that. And maybe Tolstoy just wants that kind of feeling for the ending, like life goes on as usual. It's kind of confusing and you were doing something. Why were you doing it again? Oh, there must have been some reason. I suppose I'll go and do it. That thing must... No, that can wait for a week, you know. This whole declaring my love to Natasha thing. I'll get back to that. So, I don't know. And if that's the feeling he wanted to achieve, then well done, I suppose. That feel, it's pretty underwhelming, though. I mean, we just read 800... pages, or 800 pages in my book, which is a very, very tiny little font. It's probably more like 1300 pages on a normal book, maybe more. But you'd think at the end of all that, you could just throw us a little bone, a little bit of closure, just a little bit of a happy ending. I mean, even if all that great stuff happened, everyone gets married, they all have happily ever after. It's still a pretty sad ending to the book. Like, everyone's dead. Right? I don't know. Turtle Vader said, how would you feel in Maya's shoes? A good question. Well, we know that she is a forgiving person. That's maybe her defining characteristic. She does express her indignation. She's a little bit stung by the fact that Natasha seems so quickly to have fallen in love with Pierre. She's thinking, shouldn't you still be grieving my brother? Did you really even love my brother? I think she actually articulates exactly that thought. Or maybe she thinks it might just be articulated through the narrative. I don't think she actually says that to Natasha, but she thinks that. Did you even really love my brother? But it subsides and she forgives Natasha and she sees how happy she is and she doesn't doubt in the end whether she loved Andre. And she can see that Pierre is a good guy. They're a good match. It's a good thing to happen. She does pump the brakes on it a little bit in a few different ways. She tells Pierre to go to Petersburg. She kind of softens Natasha's enthusiasm a little bit. But all in all, she does give her blessing. And it's not going to cause any rift between any of them. They're all going to remain one big happy family. So I think she played it perfectly. She slowed it down a little bit, said don't rush in, don't get swept away. But my blessing is there. Maya, how would I feel in Maya's shoes? I'd like to think I'd react the same way. I probably would feel that same little sting, but would like to think that I could be as forgiving as her. Turtle Vader also said, will Pierre and Natasha actually end up together in the epilogue? God, who knows? I just assume they're together now. Like, that's the end of the book for me. Like, yeah, they're happily ever after. He'll go to Petersburg, he'll come back, and then everything's awesome. But, yeah, who knows? I have this... My biggest fear right now, to be honest, is that the epilogue won't address these characters at all, and that's it. That's all we hear about Pierre and Natasha. That would really suck. But who knows? We just have to continue on and see what happens. All right. On that note, I think I'll wrap it up. Quick reminder, Patreon page is still up and running. Support the podcast. You can support this podcast for as little as a dollar per month. And that helps me tremendously to continue reading literature to all you fine people. Patreon.com/A Year of War and Peace podcast if you'd like to do that. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.